Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Resume Update 2021. The questions this cast answers are, what's your new resume guidance for 2021? What should I change on my resume for 2021? And are resumes dead?
Folks, since this cast is about resumes, you probably know that in 2021, thanks to the end of the pandemic, the strengthening economy, the job market is pretty hot. The way to get the best possible guidance from Manager Tools regarding the job market is to get our interviewing series. And lucky for you, the interviewing series is now part of our annual license. For only $200, you get the annual license. Normally, the interviewing series is $150, but now it's included in that $200. I highly recommend it. I think of all of our products, even though it's the interviewing series originally at $150, was one of our least expensive products, it is probably our most loved. I can't tell you hundreds of, maybe even 1,000 by now over the last 15 years have written in to say, I got a job thanks to the interviewing series. That's never true. Of course, they got a job because they were good and they worked hard and they prepared and they interviewed well. But a lot of people fear interviewing, and you're right to fear interviewing in some ways if you don't prepare. But if you do the preparation and you follow our guidance about how to answer the big questions and how to dress, and how to prepare your resume, how to close, how to have chit-chat at the beginning, every single possible question you can answer to include salary and location, certainly accomplishment questions, the interviewing series is for you, and you can get that with a license. So come to the website and become a licensee.
Our resume guidance never changes. It's one page focused on responsibilities and accomplishments, what you've done and how well you've done it. But if you look at the news media, or you look on the internet, or you read the paper or magazines, or you know, you constantly listen to podcasts, you're constantly told that there's something new in the world of resumes and HR, and hiring managers want something different. And so every year we produce an update which tells you about some of the more timely stuff that people are talking about and gives you our take on it. 99 times out of 100, we tell you, just do what you were doing, because there's no reason to change it. But this year, we're going to talk a little bit about resumes being dead or not, images, color, and spelling mistakes, and why you shouldn't use a robot.
All right, our outline for today's cast. First, we're going to talk about the fact that resumes are not dead, then about not adding images and color, and then checking for spelling and grammar mistakes.
As if that's something new.
Exactly, as if that's something new. All right, so let's start by talking about the fact that resumes are not, in fact, dead. Despite what you read, resumes are relevant and necessary, as relevant and necessary as they've always been. Since the modern version was created at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, resumes are not dead. They are the most efficient method of communicating what the hiring manager needs to know. And to Wendy's comment a bit earlier, that is what you've done and how well you've done it.
Right. So a hiring manager, if a hiring manager's done the work, and if you don't know what the work is, I'm about to tell you, but Sarah will teach you in the Effective Hiring Manager much longer than I'm about to give you the pithy thing. But you have to do the work of looking at the job and deciding what you need, what skills you need, what experience you need, not just for now, but the next couple of years, what abilities you want someone to have, what preferences would work best, balancing your team. And you've done this really hard work of narrowing down exactly what it is you need as a hiring manager. When you've done that work, you can look at a resume and in 15 seconds say, that's not it. And I always read these things and say, people say, oh, hiring managers or recruiters only look at my resume for like 15, 20 seconds. Yes, that's because it's their job. For recruiters, it's their job. And if you couldn't do your job fast, then you wouldn't be.
You'd get a different job.
Right, exactly. Recruiters are all about sales. So you've got to be able to sum up the resume in your mind in 20 seconds and sell it to somebody. For hiring managers, they should have done the work and have a really clear idea of what it is they want. And, you know, if they look at a resume and they know that they need an accountant with 4X experience and you don't have 4X experience on your resume, it doesn't take more than 15 seconds to look at it and go, that person hasn't got the experience I need. And then when you compare that to all the new things that people talk about,
yeah.
We're going to have, you know, there's so many I can't, that, you know, this, the videos resumes or 3-page resumes with like descriptions on them or, you know, all things with charts on them. That was fashionable a couple of years ago. And it's harder to read the chart than it is to read improved profitability, 18% buy, which is what you write in your resume. All of those things take longer than reading a standard resume. And that's why they don't change, because the resume is for the hiring manager, right? It's for them. And therefore, what they want doesn't change. They want that information as efficiently as possible. And the resume gives it to them. So why would anything change?
Right. To adapt from Churchill, no one pretends that resumes are perfect or all wise. Indeed, it's been said that resumes are the worst form of application, except for all the other forms that have been tried from time to time.
Which I think he said originally about democracy, but it works for resumes too, right?
Right.
And nobody says that a resume, a one-page resume especially, is the perfect embodiment of everything you have to offer, but it's better than any alternative.
It's better than the alternatives. So we're going to keep using it. Now, Wendy kind of alluded to or mentioned a little bit earlier that there's a good example of this concept, and it was video resumes. And we addressed the concept of video resumes back in the resume update 2015. We said, despite the fact that many, many column inches were dedicated to video resumes that year, despite the new reports that big companies were using them, they're the next new thing, despite the fact that it was implied that they'd already become ubiquitous, right? They were already the norm. We said they wouldn't catch on because they didn't serve the purpose of either the person creating them, the applicant, or the hiring manager. The idea that a hiring manager is going to take versus the 15 seconds that Wendy just mentioned to review and read your resume, think that a hiring manager would take 5 minutes to watch a video when she could read that resume in less than a minute is ridiculous. And to go a step further, the processes that are in place, that things like, for example, applicant tracking systems, right? The software in which the resumes are taken in doesn't allow for videos to be added. If your HR department or an HR department, a recruiter is going to ask for new technology refinements to their current intake system, they're not going to ask for the ability to append video capabilities. They're going to ask for the small changes that can help them review resumes faster. Spending more time to do something isn't what anyone is looking to do for their job.
When I was a recruiter, the one thing we wanted most was a better search. And we would have put that above everything. You know, that was at 100, and the next thing we wanted was at like 50. And video resumes was at minus 10. We just wanted better search because the search isn't great. I don't know, maybe it is since I've not been a recruiter for a while, but I can tell you video resumes still don't fit into applicant tracking systems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if you Google now video resumes, the fashion has passed. Nobody's talking about them. It's like it didn't happen. It was so weird. Resumes are not dead and they will not die. And here's the danger in believing that or reading it and then thinking that it's true or not doing the work of like thinking through, you know, does that make sense? Which it doesn't. If you read that resumes are dead, and you put less effort into your resume because you think, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not
right,
part of
no
the,
one's reading
the thing. Or I'm going to do a video resume or I'm going to use a robot, which we're going to get onto. And so you spend time doing that and your resume isn't as good. Just imagine that there's two people, and this never happens, two people with entirely equal experience and accomplishments and, you know, absolutely, there's you and someone else, and that someone else is your doppelganger. They are exactly the same as you. And you both submit your resume to the same company. The person who's done the most work on their resume is the person who's going to get the interview. They're going to be in front of you because you didn't put in the effort because you were distracted by something else. You know, that's the sad part for me. Part of the reason Career Tools exists is because when I was a recruiter and when I did a lot of interviewing, it broke my heart to see people who were obviously capable, but couldn't get an interview because their resumes were terrible, or couldn't get through an interview because they didn't have any interview skills and couldn't get offered a job. And I knew they could do it, but they couldn't get through the process. Mm-hmm. And so to think that someone would be distracted by someone saying, oh, video resumes are the thing, or resumes are dead, you don't have to work on yours, and then not get the job, that breaks my heart. That really does break my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Next point then, the format does not need to change. When somebody writes something interesting about a topic, what commonly happens is that others tend to refer to that article, and therefore, within days, every article available on that topic is focused on that novel, interesting aspect. Now, this year, the idea that spread through the resume writing universe is that the format of resumes need to change. Some suggestions, examples that we read are that recruiters are getting younger, and millennials and members of Generation Z prefer a more visual resume format with a splash of color that is also applicant tracking system, or ATS, friendly. Or consider including one or two graphics to illustrate key achievements, including pictures, logos, and graphs. Or select appropriate resume colors.
It just hurts me. It's terrible advice. And what's more, it doesn't even make sense. Right? That's what gets me. There's no logical sense. If you think about like the first part that Sarah just read, recruiters are getting younger. Okay, so now think about what qualifies you to be a recruiter, right? You have to have finished compulsory schooling. So that's somewhere between 16 and 20. I can tell you as a recruiter, there's not a lot more that qualifies you. If you're willing to sit in an office and make phone calls as a salesperson, you can do it at 16, right? So think about it. 20 years ago, before millennials, before Gen Z, the recruiters were at least 60, between 16 and 20, right? They'd done their compulsory schooling. They'd maybe done a bit more, but they were between 16 and 20. Now, a recruiter who is part of Gen Z, I think, or whatever comes after that, is still between 16 and 20.
Yes.
They're not getting younger. They can't be getting younger because getting younger would mean they were like 12.
Right.
And at 12, you can't be a recruiter because you can't get a job officially, you know, like because we don't send people up chimbers anymore. Like there is no logical sense in that argument. Now, what they mean is that the recruiters are coming from different generations.
Right.
But if you follow that through, that doesn't make sense either.
Exactly. The writer's saying that they come from different demographic cohorts than they did 50 years ago. Millennials is one of the shorthand names that academics give to demographic cohorts that follow a specific fertility pattern. The proposition here being that all millennials think the same, which has got about as much validity as saying all Pisces think the same, because no other influence that human biological functioning than the fact that they were born between February 19th and March 20th would make those people distinguishable in any noticeable way.
Yeah. Like, oh, just because you were born between this year and this year, that's exactly the same as saying between this day in the month. And if you believe in horoscopes, then I guess you believe in millennials. And yes, there's a difference between what my grandmother went through as a war bride and what I went through when I grew up. There is a difference, and that has an influence on the generation, but it doesn't have an you cannot extrapolate from the generation to the individual.
Right.
Demographics are about vast quantities of people. They're about everybody that was born in that period, not about individuals. If you read the demographics literature, they'll tell you, you cannot go from what they say about an entire country and extrapolate from that, or whatever the opposite of extrapolate is. You can't go down to an individual.
Right.
So whichever way you look at that, whether you think that, whether you take the demographics, you're doing what the academics, the demographers tell you not to do, which is going down to an individual. Or if you go from the individual up, that you're doing that wrong as well, because you're saying everyone born in a certain month has the same characteristics. And you know that to not be true based on the people you know.
Exactly. It doesn't take much experience to debunk that theory.
Hey, folks, it's Mark again. If you're thinking about your resume and you're thinking about interviewing, a really effective tool to have at your side is the ability to communicate effectively with somebody who has a different natural style than you. This is particularly true in interviewing if you're more technical than most, because probably your interviewer, if it's an HR person or a recruiter, is going to be less technical. You need to be able to read them and understand them. Our best tool to help you do that is our virtual or in-person Effective Communicator Conference. We have another virtual Effective Communicator Conference scheduled for June 28th, coming up very shortly. I can tell you that probably the most important thing I learned in my professional life is communication is what the listener does, and you need to be able to pay attention to other people's behaviors and make small changes in how you communicate with them in order to make sure your message gets across. Very effective in interviewing, I can tell you from firsthand experience. So join us at the June 28th Virtual Effective Communicator Conference.
All right. That takes us then to another one of the points that these lovely articles makes. That is, colors, logos, graphs, and pictures are all items that we should include in our resume, which, to be clear, colors, logos, graphs, and pictures are all unnecessary and impede understanding on a resume. Wendy, you mentioned at the beginning the fact that graphs take longer to interpret than it does to read a single bullet point. Yeah, it does. The age of the recruiter, the generation demographers put them into, or what a journalist found novel to write about, are all entirely irrelevant to the job of the resume. To say what you did and how well you did it as efficiently as possible is the purpose. Do that.
And anything gets in the way of that, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So another one I read was, I prefer, this is one person's writing, I prefer to set these accomplishments in a separate section with shading or a border. I also like to bold the most notable portion to really draw attention to what I want the employer to see.
Oh, you'd like to, you?
Yeah, right. So in three sentences, in two sentences, that person gives you three reasons to dismiss their advice. First of all, he's describing his preference as the applicant. The resume is not for you. It's for the hiring manager or the recruiter or whoever's reading it. It's not for you. That's like saying, I prefer to write in cursive that nobody can read. okay, but it's not going to get you very far, you know? Second, he's talking about what he wants to say, not what the person wants to hear.
Exactly.
It's like going to the doctor and saying, I've got a purple elbow. And they say to you, okay, what's your temperature? What's your blood pressure? How tall are you? What do you weigh? You know, all the basics that they need to know. Mm-hmm. And you keep saying, I've got a purple elbow. Yes, I can see the purple elbow. But first, I need to know all of these things, right? It's backwards.
Yeah.
Because the focus should be on what they need to know, not what you want to tell them. Now, you want to tell them what they want to know in a way that's truthful and persuasive, but you've got to think about it from their point of view and then fit what you want to tell them into that.
Exactly.
And last of all, he has no evidence whatsoever that his approach is successful. In nowhere on the page where that was written did it say he'd got a job, he'd got more than one job, any of his friends had got jobs using that method, anybody, you know, like, there's no evidence that that works.
Right.
So if it were me, I'd say, well, I am saying, because it is me, there's no evidence, you're backwards, and it doesn't make sense. Dismissed. Advice dismissed.
Exactly. Guys, one of the most commonly given pieces of advice for career success is to read widely and deeply. I mean, that's great advice for all of the pieces of data and that we're reading. We would agree to that with a caveat. It is reading with analysis that makes the difference. Not just reading a whole bunch of articles, but reading them with the critical eye. Reading and asking yourself, how do I know this to be true? What evidence do I see for and against this person's opinion? What authority does this person have? I mean, who are they to have these opinions? Those are skills that you learn in school, critically assessing literature to find patterns and themes. These have successful usefulness in the commercial world. You want to apply those to this type of career guidance that you read. And you're going to get exponentially more time or more value out of the time you spend reading if you do it more critically.
It's like all those times when you were in math, I remember we had to calculate the height of a lighthouse, something to do with angles and triangles. And everybody was like, well, when am I going to use this in life? I'm sure that people who didn't enjoy English literature didn't enjoy the analysis of Shakespeare.
Right.
But it actually comes in useful when you look at this information that you find and you think, okay, what is the thing? Who is this person? And how does that affect what they're saying and so on? Actually, that school stuff actually comes into play.
Exactly.
So our last part is my favorite because it's just fun that there are bots. So don't use a resume building bot. So there are new services being created which convert your basic information into a resume. Don't use them. One of them that I found, which I think is pronounced Zetty, it's Z-E-T-Y, says Zetty lets you create a professional resume in less than 15 minutes. All you need to is enter the basic details about yourself and we'll help you with the rest. Which sounds amazing.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Until you remember that your resume is the most important document of your job hunt, that your resume is the single document that gets you the interview that gets you the offer, and then in turn, the offer that gets you the job. I mean, why would you leave something so important to an algorithm? It's like trusting Alexa or Siri to create your resume. I mean, those are some of the most sophisticated natural language processing algorithms that exist. Millions, heck, billions of dollars have been poured into the creation of those tools. Far more money has been poured into those tools than has been poured into this resume creator that has been put together by a Silicon Valley startup. And as amazing as Alexa and Siri are, they are flawed and inconsistent, and they only work within a narrow range. Compared with your human brain, they will never keep up. I mean, I had to ask my home Alexa 4 times today for the temperature, and she still hasn't told me. Why on earth would you trust your resume to a bot when it's not comparable to your Alexa and Siri? Don't use it.
I'm convinced the one on my thermostat is educationally subnormal. The one on my thermostat just doesn't know any answers.
Mine, she doesn't know anything either. I mean, weird. I don't know.
And we're not best bashing Zetty in particular here. Like,
it's or not, Alexa it's or not, Siri, we're not bashing. No,
exactly. They're amazing. I have an Alexa in every single room in my house. So it's not that. There are many services out there for building resumes and that say the same thing. And they all have the same problem. And if you think about it, we'll go back to critical thought here. The founder, the person who created that service, has a different intention or a different aim than you do. His intention is to build something that makes him money or has an exit strategy that makes him money, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to get you a job. They want you to pay them. And it doesn't matter whether you get a job or not to them because you've already paid.
They've been paid.
And the more pain they can convince you they can help you avoid, the more likely you are to use the service. So they're going to say resume writing is hard, boring, difficult. You never know whether you've written the right stuff or not. You have to refine it. I hate working on my resume. Not that I have to anymore, but I hate it. Everybody hates it. The thing is, if you don't do that work, you don't have the resume that gets you the interview, gets you the job, and gets you the offer. You have something that is substandard, something that you didn't work on, something you don't believe in, potentially. You know, and I've had this happen to me. You go to an interview, or people have come to me to be interviewed, and you read off their resume. It says here, blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, does it?
Yes, just like, exactly.
Yeah, it does. So who wrote your resume for you? Because it clearly wasn't you. You know, these services are saying, hey, we'll take away the pain, but they're also not giving you the output that the pain gives you. Like, as they say in the CrossFit place, no pain, no gain. You know, you have to go through the pain in order to get the muscles. You have to go through the pain of writing a resume in order to have a resume that will do its job and that you can be proud of.
Absolutely. So to wrap it up, don't make changes to your resume based on articles or advice from random people. Think carefully about the source and the aim of the advice given, and balance that against what you know the purpose of a resume to be. That is to communicate what you've done and how well you've done it as efficiently as possible. If the advice helps that purpose, then make the change. The problem is 99 times out of 100, it won't.
This isn't the show notes, but I'm thinking it now. If you're thinking, well, who are Wendy and Sarah to give me advice? Carry on with that thought.
Yeah.
Think about it carefully and decide whether or not you think our advice or our guidance is worth taking. I would rather you did that and decided we make no sense than you didn't ever think about it and you took guidance or advice from people without critically assessing it.
I agree.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.